Two-man game, TMG, get the news fast, AMG, game of two boxes, name two boxes that hit as hard as this. Yeah, we're cutting to the truth, no, there ain't no narrative. Eyes up on the cup this year, hear the stadium erupt this year. For my team, TMG.
Jai, we're saying that, you know, people care more about transfers and transactions than the actual game these days. What do you think about that?
It's an interesting take, and it's not too far off the truth.
Guys care about, in the NBA, is Shams more important than some of the best basketball players in the world? Is Fabrizio more important than some players now?
You've gone onto the online space, and those guys have like, and they control information, and information is key, and knowledge is power.
I think the knowledge is the power, because they have the inside scoop. They're able to release the information. And to the point is that if they don't release the information, it's almost seen as misinformation. Because they're so certified in the way their opinion comes across.
True.
I also think maybe something that didn't happen a while back and that's happening now is that people care more about winning in the transfer market than winning in the game. You know, everyone wants the big signing. The big signing means more than your team playing well. That's why there's a connect, like a shift in the football narrative. It's like, oh, guys are talking about what's happening in the offseason, but they're not talking about what performances are actually happening week in, week out. You know, you want to talk about what player can you get in? Instead of how do you improve the team anyway? But that's something to consider. It's something to think about going forward, whether that, you know, that's going to change. And will people just care about transfers rather than the game?
Yeah, I mean, people just care to... they just care to watch other people. Not even play anymore. They like to watch other people, watching other people do stuff. Mm. Like, it's getting so far removed. Like, the whole streaming thing. Like, instead of playing a game, they'd rather watch someone play
the game.
You know what I mean?
But how far removed are we going to get? It's actually...
It's
crazy. Well, streamers are the new, what? Rappers, isn't it? Streamers are the most famous kind of online person.
Yeah, they are.
To the point where the dynamics change. Like, you know, streamers used to beg rappers to get in there. Now rappers are begging streamers to get online with them. Streamers are so influential. Like, we had the president of FIFA go on a stream with Speed, you know, to advertise the Club World Cup to get people to watch. To the point that even the Club World Cup games, people rather watch a watch-along than the game.
That's crazy.
Are you mad? Can you imagine?
That's crazy.
We're in a mad place, fam. The product is not even the product. Guys, even there's not that. I actually think there's not a high percentage of people that watch full games anymore. 100%. I think they just watch clips.
100%.
And that's why people can't accurately assess players and stuff appropriately. They don't watch the game. They don't have any care for the game. But that's one thing. Anyway, what do you want to catch up on since we've last been away, man? What's been pressing on your mind? What do you want to talk about? I'll give you some space, you know, because you're the guy. It's been a lot in the sports space, you know.
Obviously, NBA.
You want to start off with NBA?
Yeah, the playoffs, the finals, talk to me.
The finals. Kind of underwhelming finals, to be honest, in terms of the teams that reached it. Good finals overall, getting a game 7.
Yep.
That's the two best words in sports. Kind of a crowning moment for SGA, being the MVP, winning the conference finals MVP, then winning the finals MVP, kind of a clean sweep, kind of put himself as the best player in the world.
True.
It never feels like SGA is the best player in the world. He may be, but I don't feel like... There's not a gravity that I'm like, oh, SGA is coming and is just going to hunt you down. It's more like his team is so overpowering and he's the finishing piece. Like, he's the one that keeps everything going rather than I'm so dominant, I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna do my job, everyone else is gonna do their job sufficiently, and that's why we're a good team. It's how I see OKC. Indiana did well to get there, man. It's kind of like a clutch run. I was impressed with that, and you know, let's see what happens next year. I think What did you think about Halliburton Achilles?
You had to risk it.
You had to risk it. Yeah. Do you admire him more for risking it and getting injured and so?
I admire him the same. It's courageous. You had to risk it. It's a game seven, you know, final, championship on the line. You may never be there again. Mm. Like, especially the way the league's going. Had seven different winners. I think only maybe the Celtics are the only teams are playing multiple finals in this period.
Yeah, they are 2022.
Yeah.
And 2024.
Because nothing's guaranteed. You know,
At Miami,
yeah, so nothing's guaranteed. So, and especially the way their team is made up, even though they maybe opened a new era of like really diverse and robust teams and deep teams, with a lot of depth. But yeah, I don't know how long this will last. If it doesn't last, obviously with the way the financial landscape of the NBA is set up now.
The CBA has made it like this.
He's probably made it like this, but nothing's guaranteed. So I admire him holistically for taking it.
It's actually crazy because you probably won't get this chance again because he'll become too expensive to have the other guys on the roster. Or the other guys on the roster will be too good to be at the salary that they're at. You just have to find them and replace pieces.
Yeah.
To be fair, even OKC is going to have that issue soon because Jalen Williams and Chet will...
want money.
Yeah, will want money. They'll be off their rookie deals and they'll just be too expensive. It's just... That's how the league is, man. I think they've messed it up the way they've done the salary cap because the fact they can only really pay two guys, if they're homegrown, I don't think you should be penalised for drafting well, basically.
It's true.
You try to penalise guys for teaming up, now you penalise teams for drafting well and building organically. I feel like the NBA needs to figure it out. Like, I don't know why. I feel like they should do something with the cap where they should have a certain player that doesn't count towards the cap.
Yeah.
You should designate them. If they're drafted by the team and they've been there for 5 years, that player doesn't cross to the cap. They have no impact on the cap and the rest of your team can do that. Can be there. It's kind of an incentive to keep players.
Yeah, for sure.
And then an incentive to, you know, have better teams and then you can kind of challenge and keep guys together. I mean, that'd be a good idea from there, but it is what it is. What did you say about the KD trade as well?
The players the Rockets sent, I understand, they're always going to send... What's his name away?
Green. Brooks. But they sell Brooks away, though.
Brooks was good for them, but Brooks is replaceable.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes with less.
But it's the mentality.
Yeah, but you can bring... Brooks is like, he's a bit like in a way like Draymond Green's on a knife edge. He's either really positive or really negative. He can get suspended, he can get flagrant, this is that. So Brooks has ups and downs, but Brooks is not as talented as Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Now Draymond Green is harder to replace, but Brooks, you know, sometimes he's either a huge upside or a huge downside. But essentially Brooks is a 3-and-D player.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes his free's not that consistent. I don't know what it was last year, but I think it was better than it was when he was at Memphis the last year or so.
Yeah.
But Brooks is replaceable.
Okay.
I mean, in the right environment, he can be very beneficial like he was for the Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
But Brooks is replaceable.
I heard that.
Is Green.
I think Green made himself replaceable.
Green works in his game, the way he's... How old is that? 22, 23?
He's 22.
Yeah. If Green works in his game, he can become a potential all-star. I reckon he'd probably get a couple all-stars in his career.
I think it's a timeline thing with Green. Like, the Rockets are ready to win now and Green is not ready to be the player to help them win now.
100% well said.
And that's where it happened. That's why there was incentive for them to trade him. It's like, okay, we have this young team, we have these guys, but the window is so short. We're in the West. You can't wait forever. One day when Miami is going to figure it out and all these players are going to be there in the Spurs, and before you know it, everything's shot.
He's 23, yeah.
Yeah. So...
Where's he gone? He's gone to Phoenix.
He's gone to Phoenix, but they said Phoenix might trade him again.
I don't know if his girlfriend's going to be happy.
Yeah. Well, Phoenix, Arizona's up and coming, isn't it?
It's true. That's what they shoot. Thingy. Pop the balloon. In Phoenix?
Yeah. You trying to go?
I will watch.
You will watch?
We're gonna show the last show. I watched quite a bit of it. That show is funny, bro.
Pop the balloon is deep, fam.
That's sorry to segue, but that's the only reality TV type show that I watch religiously. Like, you can't get me watching Love Island.
You can watch Pop the Balloon.
But Pop the Balloon, I watch every episode.
You're right, because you just like to see how people treat
the dynamics of that show is just funny.
That's so jokes.
It's funny. But yeah, Jalen Green, yeah, if he improves in his game, works on his shot, works on his, you know, being a bit more efficient, being a consistent defender, you know, as he gets older, he'll become a better decision maker. You know, as they say, the game slows down.
When the game slows down for him, I think he'll be in a better place. For 100%. Him, it normally happens later in their career, you know. These guys normally peak at like 20, 25 onwards. Like, guys in the NBA don't really win their first championships to 25 plus. So, like, let's give him time, you know. But unfortunately for him, Houston ain't got time for that. For him. Houston trying to win right now. Houston got guys that are good enough to win right now as well. And the Toronto chose Sengun, really. They basically said Sengun, we'd rather have Sengun over Green. Which is fair enough. I think Sengun's an elite player.
We said Sengun's like a poor man's Jokic?
He's a poor man's Jokic.
Or does he not play in that style?
I think he's got the Jokic style. It's quite like, he's smart with his decision making, his cutting. Yeah. It's kind of aggressive. He's not very athletic though. That's the downside. Yeah. And I feel like Houston have players that can cover his deficiencies in terms of that. And they're just generally just a big team. Like, when they bang Steven Adams there, they're just a big, big team, man.
It's true.
And they could cause a lot of problems for their up. So, yeah, I like Sengun, man. I really like him, man. It's just unfortunate that the West is soon going to have to go through San Antonio. And I just want to see how good San Antonio are going to be and how quick and immediate they can make that change, to be honest. Because if Wembanyama keeps it up, he should have been Defensive Player of the Year this year. Unfortunately, he got injured. But, like, if he's going to be the force and his game clicks and the other pieces around him can help, then, boy, it's going to get scary out. It's going to get scary out west, man. And in fact, all the other teams that people talk about are going to be tough. Even Ant is going to struggle against their man. Ant can't see rim protection. He gets scared.
Yeah.
OKC, they weren't very convinced. They won a chip, but they weren't very convincing. I think their depth was just too much. Even the fact that Denver took them to game 7 I was shocked. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Because I thought Denver, think about it, Denver sat their coach before the season ended.
They managed
to take them to game 7, so.
It
is what it is, man. I was kind of surprised that Denver could do that. That just showed me it's kind of testament to what Jokic is as a player. Like, having an incomplete team, that's what I would say Denver is, and still being able to challenge, it's just something that I have to just give Jokic all the props that he took it to game 7. And he had Aaron Gordon injured in that game as well. So even if they had a fit Aaron Gordon, maybe that game would have been different. And that game all turned and, like, Westbrook, just two senseless turnovers, and that was it.
Yeah.
Absolutely senseless turnovers. So it is what it is. It is what it is in terms of that. Is there any player movement that you expect to happen now? Or is there anything you're watching or looking at?
I know the Celtics, they traded away Porzingis.
Yeah, Porzingis and Holiday, yeah.
Trying to see what the Lakers do, get a big in, get some more defensively weapons. So we're looking at. Who else potentially needs to make some moves? The Bucks. What's the latest with Giannis?
So at this moment, Giannis has asked out. They're exploring the options.
Yeah,
there's a lot of talking about him going to Toronto.
Yeah,
I don't think that's gonna happen now because there's no depth in Toronto aside from that. Yeah. But him and Masai Ujiri, apparently they're quite close friends and there's good connections there.
Yeah,
There's also talk about him going to Houston.
Yeah.
Because obviously KD's there now and Houston have the picks and the pieces.
Yeah.
What else is there available? To be fair, it depends what trades will be done by the cap. It's the cap that's driving a lot of these movements. I think DeMar DeRozan might be on the move. They'll talk about that. Who else? Jaren Jackson? If Memphis is going full rebuild, obviously they traded Desmond Bane.
True.
So that could be an option. And obviously the East is weak. So I don't know who could win it. I actually have a feeling. I don't rate this team.
Probably the Cavs.
I've been Philly, bro.
Nah.
You don't make Philly.
Embiid won't stay fit. Paul George.
Even if Embiid doesn't stay fit, they have the most.
The Cavs are better than them.
The Cavs just don't. They don't come through in the moments where they need to be.
And Philly do.
Philly don't. But maybe, you never know. Nick Nurse, man. Maybe it's the year after the year. Because you know, sometimes it's never the year that you create the team that team does the well. Maybe it's always the. Most times it's the year after the year.
It's true.
Like the Heat. Wasn't it the year after the year? The first year, sometimes it could take a while to come together.
True.
So we'll see how it goes, man. I look forward to that, but then the NBA, man, is full of surprises. Guys are getting more aggressive because the windows are open, so let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
Now, moving on to football. What you take on the
football? You haven't talked about the finals yet? The playoffs?
I talked about the finals. You want to talk more about finals?
Yeah, talk about the finals. Your thoughts?
My thoughts were, I told you.
Oh, quick. Does this make SGA the best player in the game?
Yeah.
Over Jokic?
Yeah, right now he's got the crown. You got the crown. I would take it like this. If you get the crown...
So everyone's going to change it every year?
It's going to change every year, man. That's how it is now. That's why this era of basketball, when I look back on it, I won't be looked on it glowingly.
Yeah.
Because there's no dominant team.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. And that's how it goes. Because do you remember who won in the 70s?
It's called the Blazers won.
Yep.
I think the Lakers won. I think Seattle Knicks won.
Yep.
I think the Supersonics.
Yeah, they did.
Did the Celtics get one?
Yeah, they got more. Well, they got two. They got two.
Yeah, and the rest.
Yeah. See, like, that's it. That's how the air is gonna be. If you're gonna go back and say, oh, in the 2020s. Who won? Denver won, Golden State won one, Toronto won one. It's just gonna be one of those ones where you even might forget who won the chip. So that's just what this area of basketball is gonna stand in it. But I thought SGA has the
actually in the 70s. Oh, the Bucks, for the Bucks. The Bucks have won Lakers, Knicks, Celtics, Warriors, Celtics, Blazers, Bullets, Supersonics, Lakers.
See, look at that.
I messed up Bullets and Warriors. And Bucks.
There's a lot of this. See, that's what the 2020s are going to be like. When you look back, you're going to be like, wow, these many teams won. Because the 80s, we had the Celtics and Lakers and Pistons win and 76ers. And the 90s, you had Rockets, Bulls, San Antonio.
Sure.
Pistons. I think Pistons kind of overlap in the two decades. And then in the 20s, The 2000s, you have the Lakers, you have San Antonio, you have the Celtics. And then, is there one more? No, that's it. Only three teams won in that decade. Pistons, four teams won in that decade. So that's why I'm telling, like, basketball is like, you need those dominant teams because even the Spurs never won back-to-back, but they're kind of like the team of the last, were that team of the last kind of early century. And now you have, probably people will say, I don't know who would say is better, the Warriors or the Spurs? Who has more of a dynasty between those two teams?
What, in recent times?
Yeah. If you're looking at the last 25 years, which team is more impactful?
Warriors have gone back to back.
But they won four, not five.
Yeah, Spurs is five, a spread over like...
Spread over a few decades.
I know team won all of those, but it's spread over how many decades? Like,
but if they can win a championship this decade, they won a championship each decade.
They probably will win championship this game with MMA.
Yeah, fam, that's crazy. So you say Spurs. You don't think Lakers have a score for that?
Oh, with three-peat.
Lakers got the most championships this century. When they got six.
Lakers, I'll put Warriors over. I mean, Lakers, yeah, I guess. They got five, six, yeah. But in terms of dynasty, they're like three separate teams. Well, I put the Lakers, Shaq and Kobe Lakers over the Warriors. Warriors won four in like 8 years.
More four in 8 years, yeah. They went back to back.
Well, I mean,
three-peat.
I mean, Steph won all four, but and so is Draymond. So they could be like, that could still.
And Clay as well.
Wait, there you go. Okay, yeah. So that could actually still be Dallas because the core of the team's still the same.
Yeah.
With the Lakers, it was split up. I mean, Kobe and Shaq won the first three, then Kobe and Gasol won the next two.
But if you look at the... See, this is what I was saying about the Warriors. There's a bit of nuance in the way the chip is because they've had Kevin Durant there for two of those. And it was kind of like, as you say, the greatest weapon in sports.
Okay.
Kind of changes the narrative. Even though you can still consider it being a dynasty, is that they had KD as well.
Yeah.
And he's not really a core member of the other two. He's not. He wasn't there for both of the other two. So it could have been. I think if they won three in a row, the Warriors are the greatest team that we've seen, and they could talk to the Jordan Bulls. One.
Yep.
But it didn't.
Well, you I think they can still talk to Jordan Bulls run in terms of like ability, but in terms of actually like three-peating, nah, not so much.
Who do you think would have won? If we take all those Bulls dynasty teams. And the Warriors teams.
Yeah.
Putting them in now modern basketball. Who wins?
I think wins. Bulls versus Warriors.
Yes.
What rules are we playing?
We're playing 2020 rules. You put both rules. Play 90s and 20s. 2020s.
Was a series of seven? So how many games are going to be in the 90s? Okay.
Bulls got home court. So four games are 90s, three games are 2020s rules. Who wins the series?
Who wins the series? Okay, who's going to guard KD's Pippen? Who's going to guard Jordan? It's going to have to be Clay or Iguodala, if that's what year we are.
He'll probably put Iguodala.
Yep. But put it this way, I feel the Warriors have more offense than the Bulls.
Yes.
But the Bulls have players to guard every single one of those guys.
I think the Warriors system is better than what the Bulls play, which is the triangle.
I think it is true. I think Rodman and Draymond will match up well.
I'll be awful.
I flip in.
Awful hoops.
Iggy slash Clay on thing, on Jordan. And then Steph have to probably guard Ron Harper, but Ron Harper used to be able to get. He used to be a 20-point per game score, I believe, back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But he's playing different.
Son got drafted yesterday, didn't he?
Oh, wow, didn't know that. And then flipping, who would be guarding Clay? Who would Clay be guarding? Clay could guard Pippen.
He can guard Pippen.
Yeah, they're on the same height, anyways.
He could guard Jordan.
He guard Jordan. He could guard Pippen.
I think the Warriors just present a matchup problem, isn't it?
I feel Warriors shooting.
It's going to be like, wow, we have to go out to the 3-point line. It'll be too much.
Even though the Bulls could do full court press and hustling, I feel, the Warriors should. I think Pippen will do as good a job on KD as pretty much anyone would ever be able to do.
I think Steph would be the biggest problem because Steph is not on ball. Like, he's not really an on ball career. Most of his game is off ball.
I think Ron Harper can do a good job on him.
Mm.
Ron Harper's a good defender, athletic. But in terms about his stamina, I mean, those guys, I like to think those guys are in good condition. I mean, maybe I'm biased. I just think the shooting will be a bit too much.
The shooting will be too much for the Bulls.
The fact that the five man is going to just be. Yeah, and they want to go small ball.
Yeah.
The fact that they have, like, if you're thinking realistically, I mean, Kukoc could get you 20 points. Mm. You got Kukoc, Jordan, maybe Pippen.
But Kukoc's not starting.
But when you put out the best five,
okay,
can get you 20 points. Rodman's not get you 20 points. Harper. Not really.
That's the best five. Kukoc, Rodman played like
five.
Who have to play five?
Yeah. Kukoc at the four, Pippen at the three, Jordan at two.
They would do that thing to Kukoc where he said, come here.
100%. But they could do that thing to Steph, say, come here.
Yeah, that's true.
But the thing is, when they put out their best five on the floor, when it's the death lineup with Iggy, Steph, Clay, Draymond, KD, Steph can get you 20 plus, KD can get you 20 plus, Clay can get you 20 plus, Iggy can get you like 10 to 15, Draymond with 16. I think there's more explosive scorers on that team.
Yeah.
And they defend well.
I feel like they have too many options. Like, if Clay just goes nuclear, like, what? MJ's going to say, let me guard him. And then that leaves someone else. And they just, Yeah, you have to guard with the Warriors. You're guarding more than just a 3-point line. You're guarding up to like the half court because they can make Steph can make that shot. Like he can make that shot. And Clay, if he gets on the heat, I don't think there's anyone I've seen that can get hotter than Clay. Like when he and then KD, it's just an art. He's a master craftsman when it comes to just like the mid range game. Like it's just too. It's just too good. I think they just have a too much. I was even thinking about that because, you know, the way Shaq talks about these errors and such. I just don't think Shaq now.
Yeah.
Shaq playing in this era, I think he'll have a lot of problems. I think the Shaq of 2020, the 2000s, he couldn't play this. He's too big. He doesn't. He's not mobile.
I think early Shaq could.
Could, yes.
Orlando
Shaq could.
I think this Shaq, offensively, he'll be a nightmare.
But people are shooting threes and you're scoring twos.
It's true. But I think he'll get worn out by having to come out to the paint.
Mm-hmm.
And had to guard more space. But I think, I'd like to think he would have adapted his body again. Even then, I'd like to think he would adapt his body a bit more to adapt to that situation where he would have kept his body.
But even then, he wasn't trying to do it.
He wasn't, but he didn't need to because he didn't have to guard as much space. I'd like to think he'd be able to do that.
Jimmy D got the better of him.
Yeah, once. I think they played like four or five times. And it was like four
times. Like three times. Timmy D got him, what? San Antonio won the chip. Got him the year after 2005. And like, yeah. I personally think he would really struggle. Because he wouldn't guard the perimeter. He would just be like, okay, I'll be dropped big. And they would just kill you with threes to the point where you scoring twos wouldn't be enough for you to stay in the court.
Well, it depends on what percentage. Because if you're scoring twos at 60%, it kind of evens out to threes at 40%. If my math is correct.
Threes at 40.
So twos at 60, which is what I think Giannis is doing.
Twos at 60, well, it's like,
so what? If you take 30 shots.
1.2%.
No, if you take,
yeah, you're right. They're the same.
If you take 30 shots and you make 18 of them, that's what, 36? It's
1.2 points per position, basically.
36. And then if you take 30 shots on threes and make 40%, which is 12,
yeah,
it's 36.
Yeah. Average is out, but threes hurt, man.
They do. But yeah. Shaq dunking.
To be fair, Shaq, if he's shooting 30 shots, how many free throws is he getting? Not that he's good at the free throw.
He's getting free throws as well.
And he's creating mismatches.
Mismatches, foul trouble.
Yeah, guys would.
And in this era, Shaq would shoot 60% from the field. No doubt about it. He'd probably even shoot 65.
No one's really.
Like, if you're honest,
kind of lie out of him. But his slow footedness, he'd get cooked. The thing is, okay, let's say Shaq is offering poor defense. He's not only giving up threes, he's giving up twos as well. Because what happens now is that, they say play at a level, he's not getting back.
Yeah.
They get to the rim. There's no rim protection because now playing at the
60.1% from Giannis last season.
Giannis had a great season. Guys just don't talk about it that much.
Giannis?
Yeah, he had a great season.
Because it wasn't impactful.
Well, his team didn't win and he got slapped up by the Pacers, fam. Got slapped up.
Again.
He deserves it, fam. That's two straight years. Now his running mate towards Achilles.
Because Jokic shot 57.6% and he was shooting like threes. Jokic had a tremendous season. Am I ready to call Shea the best player? I don't think I could call him over Jokic. Jokic is too impactful.
But then
I think Jokic
won a chip, fam.
He did, but there's, you know, those years when LeBron was playing and
I hear you. He was still the best player in the game. And
Jokic's impact in the game is just phenomenal. Like what? This is stat line. 29.6, 12.7 rebounds, 10.2 assists, 57.6.
If you're talking about like, for the point of this guy is... I think the perspective that I see is that, Jokic probably is the best. If you took Jokic and swapped him with SGA, Jokic is better than SGA.
100%.
Yeah,
then I SGA plays better defense, but
SGA doesn't play good defense, man. It's a boomer. Did you not see Indiana target him? They killed him, bro. They were killing him over and over again. SGA, fam. I'm looking at your narrative. We'll see. I hear it.
Yeah, because 57.6 from the field, 41 from the three, 8% from free throw. Bro, like he's a beast.
You're special.
Like he's that dude, bro. Third in points, third in rebounds, second in assists. I think even his steals, he done pretty decent. 1.8 steals.
Jokic, man. Did you hear what the owner said?
What?
Yesterday. That he said you can get to a point where they might consider trading Jokic.
Who said that?
That's what Josh Kroenke said.
Why would he? Why the hell would you do that?
Second April. Scared. Yeah, that's the Arsenal. That's the Arsenal's
own.
That's
Arsenal been suffering.
Yeah. You see, Arsenal just buying defender after defender.
Yeah. Good segue because the transfer market.
I want to ask this question. What do you think about Norgaard?
I don't even watch him like that. I don't know how good he is.
Hey, Yobo.
At least the guys, hold on. At least the guys in Brentford, like, you got Mbeumo. I know more about Wissa.
I don't watch Norgaard.
Who's the Dam's guard?
What do you think about Norgaard?
Does anyone even know about him?
God, that's what
I'm saying. Just making his.
Do you know what's so funny? Arsenal could make any sign that guy would justify it. Like, yeah, it's a good backup, you know? He's replacing Jorginho.
I'm not trying to win the title. We're pump faking.
Look at the guys that Liverpool and Man City are signing, and then look at what Arsenal are signing. Norgaard.
Man City sound shirking.
He's
probably
getting you thinking
his world is
shot. The whole of last season, you think he thought he's going to be an Arsenal.
Man, that's Arsenal for him. That's Arsenal for you. Even Spurs were linked, and now is that?
Look, what we've got the same target as Spurs.
That's it, man. This is what my theory is, and I don't know what you guys. I don't get stopgap signings. You should only buy players that improve your team. Why buy a player that you're already saying can't start for me? Does it make sense?
You know, you buy guys that if you want to get depth that can at least challenge your first team.
Yes.
You know, for example, if you got someone like Saka, the tires that are going to improve on Saka will be too expensive, like your miles and whatnot.
You buy an up and comer.
You buy someone that can challenge him.
Yes.
You buy someone that will be able to, you know, Saka's injured, if he's off form, someone that can realistically challenge him.
Yes.
If it works, that guy ends up being a backup, then so be it. But you don't outright buy this backup.
Don't intentionally buy a man
that can't compete.
Could that cause issues? Because you can't. The guy has no sell-on value immediately. Because he won't play, and it will be on the bench. So it's just a memory. When you play Football Manager, and you're building your squad.
Yeah.
Do you build your squad to have two quality players in each position?
Yep.
Do you buy stopgaps? Have you ever bought one? I just need a guy for one season.
I tell you, my stopgaps, they were flipping wonder kids. With sell on value.
Yeah, you have to get guys with sell on value. It doesn't make sense.
Even when I was a lesser team, I bought a free transfer for one season because I bought it for less.
Yeah.
It was a free transfer, you know, maybe a season or two, but he was still someone that's going to impact the team.
It's someone that's going to help you win now.
Yeah, someone that's going to really, really contribute to winning now. I'm not buying these jokers that's going to last a couple.
I personally mean the no-guard signing doesn't make sense. I don't get it. I don't get buying it backup. So placeholders, it doesn't make sense. Placeholder selling, that makes sense. That's how Arsenal still got Trossard in the books because he was a placeholder until you get another guy. Now Trossard is quote-unquote a star. Doesn't make sense. This is a guy that people complain about. Like, don't buy stopgaps. You buy guys that challenge your team or guys that can at least help you.
Sure.
When Man City bought Cherki not necessarily might not start, but at least he can challenge. At least there's the idea that, you know, Foden is scared or Bernardo is scared or these guys, there's a guy they've come in and they bought in that can actually challenge. That's what you should do, man. I don't get stopgaps. I don't get placeholder signings. Just buy guys that will actually contribute. I'm sure there's a young DM there that was available that you could have tried to buy it, that could have filled in that role. Prem proven doesn't mean anything. What does Prem proven mean? You played in the Prem. And what? You didn't... I played a couple of years in the Prem. Doesn't mean I was good.
Arsenal just cheapskates, bro. I've been saying this for how long?
Do you know what? It feels like Arsenal moving further and further away from the Arsenal that I grew up. Like, I remember Arsenal being flirty, touchy, best football. And Arsenal don't play that football anymore. It's just very different. Very functional team. That's maybe one of the reasons why I can never get behind them as much as I before, because the style of football ain't the football I came up on.
The season before where we played good football.
Yeah, and we stopped playing that.
I don't hate our football right now. I don't hate it.
But
this just feels so same. Mm. I've seen this before.
The same
banned,
movie.
We're not
banned. Your career is a Cesco team.
Do you know the most we're going to do? We're going to go back and his juice equivalent.
They're saying it's going to end up being Watkins, fam.
You get what I mean?
Yeah, I hear it, I hear it.
I'm not
you're not buying it. Do you know what I think, yeah? Personally, this is what it is.
I don't blame Arteta either.
You don't blame him? No. It's his players, fam. These are the guys he's asking.
No.
I think he's hamstrung.
Like, I used to, I can't lie to you, I was almost on the verge of Arteta out. Mm-hmm. But history shows us, yeah, that we've seen this before.
I think Arteta's got an issue, fam. No, Arteta's one of the issues. He's saying that he wants Sesko. Sesko doesn't want to come. Get your Chris.
He's got the Wenger problem. He's too loyal to the club.
I think.
He will never outwardly speak bad about Arsenal.
But why is he buying defenders then? He bought Kepa.
I don't know.
Well, how is he buying all these players? That's not what.
I think the way Arsenal's run is like a.
But it's him. He's the one that picked the sporting director, fam.
A mafia in that place, bro.
All I'm saying is that, you know, give Arteta, I want, this is where I'm at with Arteta. Make sure Arteta gets all the guys he wants. I don't want any excuses. I don't want anyone saying that it wasn't because of the players that he bought. I don't want any excuses. I want Arsenal to have all the players that they want so they can achieve their goal.
True.
I just personally think if last year's team didn't win anything and it's not good enough and you're buying no one to improve on it, then you'll go back at square one. And in football, being stagnation kills teams.
Yep.
If you look at Spurs, the 2010 Spurs, the team was good on the precipice. They didn't buy anyone that could help them get better, and they faded.
Yep.
That could easily happen to Arsenal. It's not like, and the competitors now are City and Liverpool. You think City and Liverpool are not trying to improve? You're not seeing the money they just spent.
Werner, Cherky, Reinders, you also see bought.
They bought.
And they do early. That's the thing.
They do early. So they're in the preseason. They got the guys.
You know what I mean?
They got Aignori. So they've got guys. Like, you need to do your business early. Do your business early. So then, therefore, you got guys that can settle in for preseason and they're there ready. They can learn the philosophy. You can hit the ground running. Don't lose dumb points early in the season. Now, Arsenal going to buy a striker. It's probably going to arrive in August. It's not going to be like in...
My thing with Arsenal, even though we've got a completely new back office, apart from the owners, it seems, and like the board of directors, and I'm assuming guys who pull the trigger on transfers, we're still making the same dumb mistakes.
It's just,
back when we were good before and competing for like the late 2000s, mm-hmm. when we were just like a pair short here or there, we kept on haggling, missing out on place. They want to pay a bit more for certain players, ended up trying to pay $40 million and £1 for Suarez, who apparently we agreed to terms with. Doing dumb stuff like this, didn't want to take risks. I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I don't see Arsenal's book, but how much could this risk cost? If it doesn't work and you're really strapped for cash, then you can sell some of these players and it'll cover the books. You know what I mean? But
Arsenal the most profitable team in the Premier League last season. So
still,
yeah, I mean, the most profit. So I don't understand what they're trying to do. Unless he has unwavering faith in his players. Because guys will say Arsenal hamstrung. But when it was Havertz that was on the market, they paid the piece quickly and Havertz was the Arsenal player. So it doesn't make sense. I'm trying to hear excuses about this. It's the bum players, when it's Arsenal, Arsenal do the business quickly. When it's guys that they really want, when it's guys that the fans want, but the team's a bit unsure, they don't care. They don't want to do the business. They don't want to make the signings, and it is what it is, man. That's how I see it with Arsenal, man. It is what it is. They're just too far away. Be good. And City and Liverpool are going to slap them up, and then someone else will come and surprise them, and then everyone's going to complain and just be sad and back to square.
They don't want to take risks. Arsenal don't want this. No risk, no rewards, as the saying goes. Yes. You got to take risks at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And Arsenal just don't do that enough. You know, they always look for the perfect storm, that financially speaking.
And it never comes through, fam.
You know, in sports, you got to have to take some risk to win. Yeah. And winning costs, you know, the price of being great is a hefty price, which Arsenal refused to pay, and that's why we don't win.
Not winning, not good enough.
And I think if you do win, even though you have to pay a price to begin with, you earn it back, you know.
They're not good enough, man. They don't.
You earn it back through shirt sales, through prize money. You know, more people be pines are comfy. That's why people also go to Madrid and they don't have to pay a transfer fee because Madrid's brand is winning. It's not Madrid are just known for winning and looking good.
No one cares about the style of Madrid. If, as long as you win, the style only matters when you start losing.
That's the reason Madrid are the biggest club in the world, even though United tried to still rear their ugly head in that debate.
But the thing is, why we don't consider Man United being the biggest of the world, it's because they're not winning.
But Madrid, the history, like, I mean, they've literally won a Champions League or European Cup in every decade, apart from maybe Bayern, I think, the 70s and the two, no.
They won in the
90s.
They won in the 2000s. They won in the 2010s as well.
I think it's only the 70s. Is that the 70s or 80s?
Yeah, I mean, the champs.
I think maybe 70s. I think they won in the 80s. They won this year every decade.
Because they replenish. They get their guys in. They know what to do. They identify where the talent is and they make sure they get the guys.
Even Real Madrid had a poor season last season. You know, if they won't go with Max having more than two poor seasons.
Yeah, when they got reinforcements, got a new coach, and they're gonna play a new.
They got a guy Trent. They got a guy Trent coming in, like big Trent.
Let's see what Trent's gonna be. Oh, let's see. I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to this season, man. Let's see if the chickens come home to roost with these dead teams, man. I'm not impressed. I'm not happy. That's it. That's where I'm at. I'm just not happy. Okay, is there anything else you wanted to touch on?
Let me check them. We touched on everything. Transfers, NBA, Club World Cup.
Alan Bagged. That guy, man. So hungry. So hungry. So hungry, 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 man.
This is a guy that wants to win.
Bro, Haaland.
I know, man. He's
one of the hungriest dons. I like that.
That's the guy that wants to win, man.
He really cares about winning, fam.
He's not a joke, man.
He's
going to have the bit between his teeth for next season. And just to finish on Arsenal, the thing that always bites us in the butt for the most part is that we don't have a strong, deep enough squad. Because we were buying guys at Norgard and we don't buy the players we should do, and we don't have enough players in the squad that are challenging. We don't have enough good players in the squad. So that means people like Trossard have to get too much minutes. You rely on guys like Martinez to start for your team who, unless your squad is like perfect, you could get away with Martinelli starting, but the way he's right now.
He's awesome.
And obviously, to be fair, someone was saying that we don't platform him properly, which I get to an extent. We don't platform him Martinelli properly.
Why? He's awesome.
He's not great, but the style of football we play doesn't suit him, which I get. Like, if you play for Liverpool,
he's a fast winger that needs to. He needs to make some runs inside. He does. But if he played enough opportunities.
If he played for someone like Liverpool that actually utilises the counter attack sharply, then yeah, he would have more joy.
But he's still rubbish to me. I don't care who he plays for. I don't rate Martinelli. If you rate him, fair enough. Him and Trossard, maybe if you combine them, then that would be a good player. But the traits that they have individually is rubbish. I don't really care for what they do. Even to show you how rubbish Martinelli and Trossard are as a combo. Saka is injured, yeah?
Yeah.
And still the attacks still go down Saka's side.
Yeah.
That just shows you how rubbish the other wingers are.
Yeah, sure.
That's why we need a game winner in the both sides. Arsenal don't have enough game winners. They don't have game changers. They don't have game breakers enough. They're what? Saka. Maybe even Saka and Rice. That's just two guys. You need about, I think you need four game changers to be a good team. I think you need four.
So we've got Saka. Odegaard was supposed to be there, but he's not. So who's it, the game changers?
I would say Saka and Rice. That's it.
And relying on Rice to be a game changer.
He is, isn't it? Free kicks on that.
Yeah, but
when I'm kicking guns.
But you mean not just goals, just to tell guys who can actually take a game.
Yeah, change the game.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, Saka and Rice. Yeah. I mean, you don't really rely on your defense. I mean, Saliba was.
They are.
Gabriel with his goals, I guess, was.
Yeah.
But he's been injured.
But you can't really say defenders, your main job is to stop goals going in. I'm not gonna ask you to win me a game. You're winning me again by just.
Unless it's Sergio Ramos.
Yeah.
Never meet.
It's Sergio Ramos, yes. It's still winning games. It's still, you see Sergio Ramos? Club World Cup, you see
Sergio? What do you do? What do you do?
It's cool.
It's got a header. Yeah. So that was a great header, to be fair.
Yeah, see. But there's someone that Melo doesn't rate.
I don't.
Sergio Ramos. One of the greatest winners of football. Not that I'm saying he's a great centre back. He's a great winner. Like Thomas Muller. I don't rate Thomas Muller that much, but you rate him.
Oh. Thomas Muller?
Yeah. This guy is he's talking to Bayes, man. No, I'm talking, focus.
Talking about football.
What are you talking about?
Thomas Muller, your greatest winner. You know, efficient player, German efficiency, you can't top that. But yeah, it's been lit, it's been true. Glad to be back to being consistent. It's the TMG boys, make sure you like and subscribe. Subscribe 340 on the road to 1K. You know, we had 250 earlier on in the year, 340, keep pushing. Follow us on all socials, that'd be the Instagram, that'd be the Twitter. This is us, ODB, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify with the TMG boys. There's JA, your boy Mello, the big man, the chief in the background behind the camera, Mr. Yobo. And we out.